Okay, go ahead.
That's recording?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's set. Maybe
I should. Someone's sitting here.
I should keep this close to you guys. It's okay.
It's recording. Okay. I'm sure, yeah. So just to review again, item one, selection of chair and vice chair has been tabled for next month's meeting. Commissioner Gaffer seconded. The vote was unanimous to table this to our September meeting. Now, moving on to our next item, DRB application 18-36. This is in the Residential Historic District. This is a vacant parcel at 421 Garden Avenue. This application is seeking approval to build a new garage with a studio above. The applicant is John Crow, also a member of this commission, so he will be recusing himself in order to do the presentation on his application. My understanding for Mr. Esparza is all public notice requirements have been met.
Yes.
So with people within 300 feet have been notified.
That's correct.
Okay, and just for the public's purposes, for this or future items we're going over today with any of the build or rebuild applications, we will first hear from the applicant or the representative. We may have questions for them. After those questions, we will then open up to members of the public to speak if they want to speak to the item that's on the agenda. We go with a soft 3-minute rule, which is your 3 minutes to make your statement or present. We then give the applicant or the representative the opportunity to come back up, address any of the concerns that may have come up from members of the public or from commission members. And then after that, the commission then closes the public part of the hearing, and then we will discuss amongst ourselves and make a determination about that application, just so you got process. So, Mr. Crow, I'd say just, even though we're small and informal, I would say maybe, Paul, what do you think makes the most sense? Have folks sit here?
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
So it's still close enough to this so we can record? But so we distinguish, you're not speaking to us as a fellow commissioner member in the moment.
I thought I picked you guys off already. What the hell's going on?
Yeah, you're right.
My name's John Crow. I reside at 416 Garden Avenue. Proposing a garage with a studio above. Corrugated metal roof. Stucco exterior. With double-hung windows, except for one tiny window on the north side, which will probably not be seen, is a wood sliding window.
Commission members, do you have any questions on the basic application?
Stucco finish. Is there a particular reason why you've chosen a stucco finish?
Maintenance, yeah. And I know as a historic board generally doesn't like stucco over if it's an existing building over siding, but it's quite common to have new buildings passed with stucco.
And that was actually a question I had as well, more so because I know on that block previously there had been some issues that had come up about, I think they were remodels, not new builds.
Right.
Although there are a mix of new builds and remodels along Garden Avenue. Right. I think this had to do more specifically with the rebuild at the end of the street, that yellow building that's on the very end.
Yeah, that Alan Hosey was doing.
Yeah.
Right. Right. But that was, I think we've always had a mandate not to stucco over wood siding. Which that was.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But I think for new construction, there's quite a few examples that have been stuck with.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Gaffer?
John, the Bastille garage door, is that corrugated?
No. Hopefully just flat.
Flat panel.
Unpainted. Rusty.
Okay.
Steel.
But it's going to have a weathered look to it.
Yeah, lived something. I haven't quite located it, but something. Anything,
oh, you're looking for something.
Anything but white.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions from either commissioner? Okay, if there's not for now, John, I'm going to open up to the public if there's anyone from the public that wanted to speak to the application. Not seeing anyone running up to the table.
I have a concern.
Do you want to actually, if you could come up here, we want to get someone closer, we get you recorded. So if you could just tell us your name and address.
Sure. And then my name is David Michael Cheesham. I live at 808A Tombstone Canyon. I have nothing to do with this entire thing, Mr. Crow. I'm just worried whether you guys have an effective quorum or not, since Mr. Crow can't vote on his own property. And I don't know if it's has to be 4 out of 7 or just a simple majority under the rules, and I can't find it this quickly in this dim light in the rules and regulations. Just something to think about.
Thanks for the question. Yeah. Mr. Esparza?
My thought was we have a quorum to conduct the meeting. It just happened that Mr. Crow is the applicant. So my understanding, and I can step out, if I could reach Britt, it would be nice. When it comes to vote, obviously you'd have to recuse yourself, but it would take the majority of those present and able to vote to pass that. That's my understanding. But I believe, and we have a quorum to conduct the meeting, I believe you just happen to be the applicant. You clearly cannot vote on your application. And my understanding is the majority of those that can vote would pass it. Now, if you want me to step out and try to... too bad I don't have Brett on speed dial, but I believe that's correct. I can try to call his office, but...
Actually, I'd say if you can contact him afterwards or tomorrow. Okay. This issue came up with a prior meeting several months ago where we had just 4 members, and I believe it was a similar scenario where one of the commission members was also an applicant for that evening. I'd inquired at that time if we could vote, if we had quorum. I was told at that time, just prior to the meeting, that we did. So that's the basis on which we're operating, was the guidance we received from the city of Bisbee previously when we had that scenario occur. But thank you for raising the concern.
Too much legal training.
So seeing no members of the public beyond Mr. Chisholm with his general concern about quorum, which hopefully we've addressed, are there any other questions, concerns, or comments? Commissioner Gaffney or Commissioner Green that you have for Mr. Crow?
No.
No? Okay. Anything else you'd like to add or share?
No.
Okay, Mr. Crow, thank you. Do we have a motion?
I'll propose a motion to approve DRB application 18-36 as presented.
Do we have a second?
That's where the difficulty comes, isn't it, with such a small quorum?
I can second, for the purposes of moving the vote forward. So I will second your proposal. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? No? Your motion passes. Thank you, Mr. Crow. Moving on to DRB application 18-39, third item on the agenda. This is for 124 OK Street. It's in the Bisbee Residential Historic District. This is a vacant parcel. The applicant is seeking approval to build a new 676 square foot single family dwelling. The applicant is Matthew Robinson. My understanding again from Mr. Sparzer is that all public notice requirements have been met. People have been notified within 300 feet of the property. I understand there may be some updates or amendments as well from his representative, who I believe is here to represent the application.
Hi, guys. Noah Subi, Subi Construction, 26 High Road. And I guess I didn't need to make all these copies.
No, there's members of the public here, so they probably would appreciate it.
Yeah.
And I think we want to get a copy to Mr. Esparza, so if he has to send any updates out for the neighbors, he has to do so.
Peter, or Mr. Gaffers, if you could pass one down here, too, for you guys.
So, Mr. Subi, if you could give us...
I will, here.
Once you're organized there, just an overview as well as the update to the proposed amendments.
Here's another elevation of the amendments.
Okay.
Thank you. John.
Okay, so the overall plan here, or not really plan, but conception at this point, is what Mr. McPartland said that, you know, 650-plus square foot residence here on the downside of OK Street on this lot, that there is an old slab there. So, I mean, there was something at some point. This old slab is, if you guys saw it, it's only like 10 by 10. I don't know if it was just a shed, but I bet there was a house there at one time. There's stairs going down to the house below. He isn't trying to really crowd the edges too much, and I think he had his use of space is really great. He's kind of, I think, had a nice mixture of materials, which I gave you a list of here. Is the standing seam roof, the wood shakes, and the double hung windows with the wood trim. When we did talk about amendments yesterday, he was asking, I wrote it in the third little check here, I guess this is pretty common up in northern Arizona where he does work, is to wrap the wood trim in corten, it's called, which is metal just made to rust, just to create a better seal and make for less maintenance. So he's would like you to approve the trim around the windows in corten, possibly. The other amendments, okay, so you can see that it's two roofs going into each other perpendicularly, and I wrote that the lower one, if you look at the original drawing, the lower roof, can't find anything there, on that west elevation, that came in about 4 feet lower than the high roof. Now he would like to gain that headroom there and have those two roof lines meet more traditionally, I guess, there. So one of those things that if you didn't point it out, not a lot of people would notice. The other one is that small awning over these west-facing, in the first picture, it's a window and a door going out onto the patio. That's off the kitchen. That's off the bedroom, right here. This addition, this part of the house here is a bedroom. The rest is the living room kitchen. And if you are interested, it doesn't pertain to DRB, but it's a pretty cool layout if you're looking at it this way. Here's the window and door we're talking about. There's already a door right here coming off the kitchen, and you see it in this south elevation right there. That's where the awning's going over. And he thought that it was redundant to have another door so close. Even though it's off the bedroom, I think he wanted to gain the wall space, so he's changed that door to a window. So if you look at the new west elevation one, the one with all the amendments on it, that door is now a window. So two windows there instead of a door and the awning over them.
Mm-hmm.
So,
And Mr. Shibu, when you say awning over that, we're talking the same roofing style or material?
Yeah, kind of to match that one over the kitchen windows there.
Yes.
You see right to the left. Okay. And there would be, you can barely see him. He did this quickly last night because I said I really wanted to give you these amendments instead of just having to verbalize them. And there are posts there holding up that awning. They're not just kickers back to the house.
If you look at
the south elevation here, you see the post. The new south elevation, you'll see the post for that on you.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, I see.
So you see the wood shakes are in the gables, the rust tin to rust is the siding and the standing seam.
Commissioner Gafford, do you have a question for Mr. Seavey?
I was just curious, Nora, is it single story? Or is
it's
it cathedral?
Single, it's
He's
single
gonna have a
story
cathedral
with,
ceiling.
With a high ceiling.
Yes.
Yes, in fact, I think he is going to have storage loft space.
Yeah.
This is what this dotted line is showing over the
Makes
thing
sense.
Here.
Right.
And then high ceilings in here, or possibly more loft space. But. It is single story. It's not high enough to be a two story.
Right.
Although, if you count the blocks, I came up with, because this is kind of approximate, and I know you guys like having numbers. I got 21 feet wide on the short side, and 34 on the west elevation, or the side parallel to the street, and then 20 feet high on the high side of the, so against the wall, 20 feet high, but you'd really only be seen in a difference of about 13 feet on the low side up to maybe 8 feet of the house on the high side.
Mm-hmm. Because the land is considerably lower than the street level on OK Street.
Exactly, yeah. So that's why we have this dotted line in the east elevation here.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Mr. Shibu,
And then the big amendment is that he decided his budget would not hold up the off-street parking spot. So he drew these two elevations without that.
And Mr. Shibby, with that proposed change, which, as I understand, it's not under the purview of DRB, but I just want the public disclosure to mention something in a moment. But with the changes, is that changing the dimensions of the house, the building?
Not at all.
It's just creating essentially open space on the lot.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
And it does take away that staircase that you saw on the side of the parking spot.
Got it. Okay.
So access is now here.
Yes. Yes.
This is eliminated.
And that was the original access of the lot. You know, the lot had no parking spot before. There is a little fence there already, like they had it. He has this really, I think, just genius idea of this pyramid idea of extending the steps off to grow as they come, as you come down. Did you see that in the top elevation? And then get smaller as you go down. It's kind of like you're coming off off a staircase, but you can't have a landing there because if you just turn left off a 11-inch riser or less, you know, because these are old stairs, and just have a landing, it kind of doesn't work. So you're able to step down at a diagonal and get to his patio there.
Okay, any other amendments? Anything else we need to be aware of in terms of proposed changes to the original?
No.
Okay. Before commissioners, if you do have questions, I just want to clarify that the City Council did adopt a proposal that came out of Planning and Zoning some time ago, back in November of 2017. City Council did adopt a proposal. This is under Ordinance 0-17-12, which created a change to the zoning code specific to the historic district, allowing for the possibility, not the automatic approval, but the possibility of a new residential structure being proposed in the historic district on an existing lot without providing parking. I think the key language they used in adopting this, which is now part of the city code, was if feasible. Feasibility is not defined in the language. And in further discussion with Mr. Esparza earlier, and briefly with Mr. Ward, who was our city building inspector, now county building inspector, I believe, that the City Council has signed off on the IGA with the county. The language in this ordinance references the zoning inspector that would make the determination around feasibility. I've sent an alert to Judy Anderson, the chair of Planning and Zoning, only because this is a first-time case, although this is coming to DRB first. The parking piece, there may be questions that either Mr. Ward or the applicant may get in the public, and I just want us to be clear, we don't have purview or authority over that. If any commission does, it's Planning and Zoning, and they, along with the city, need to define what that process is regarding feasibility and what role the zoning inspector plays in making that determination. At this point, I don't think we have an official zoning inspector for the city of Bisbee. We had a building inspector who also had de facto zoning responsibilities. He is now a county employee as a building inspector, and the IGAs that have been discussed at city council had other ideas about how zoning enforcement would occur. So again, well outside maybe TMI for some people here, but I just want both members of the public and you as commission members to be clear what our authority is. It doesn't include the issues regarding parking. That is something that planning and zoning has authority over, and this may need to get addressed to them in the future, but I leave that to Mr. Esparza to follow up with Mr. Ward and other appropriate city staff. Any questions just about what I've shared with you?
I'd like to make...
Mr. Stubbe, yes.
I guess I'd like to make one more amendment on the on this, if possible, and if, again, this wouldn't come down to you guys having to make the final decision on this, but if you would approve it with or without this parking spot, if for some reason there were some kind of unforeseen possibilities of him not being allowed to build without that parking spot, or him changing his mind and possibly coming across the funds to put the parking spot on. I was wondering if you would consider approving it either or.
I think we have done approvals previously which gave the applicant or representative more than one option that we would approve. So that's not precedent setting, and we have done that. I want to make sure that commission members have an opportunity to ask questions for you, especially given the number of amendments you just reviewed with us, or just about the proposal generally. So,
commission members? That was going to be my question to you.
Yeah.
What if?
Yeah.
And then you just answered it.
Yeah.
So, we go forward on the basis that we make an approval with or without the parking space.
Then that would just need to be specified in the proposal. Other commissioners, questions for Mr. Subi at this time?
No. I have a comment.
Yes.
I think this is an exemplary proposal.
Yeah,
I just wish that this becomes the gold standard of how to present to the DLB. And I congratulate you and your client.
Thanks. Yeah,
it really tells the story.
Credit for he's the
tells the story. I know this is sort of off the record and it's irrelevant.
No, it's on the record.
But it's kind of nice because it makes our job so much easier. And also, I mean, the scale of it, the location of it, the fact that it nestles into that, you know, it's really very much in the spirit of what we would like to see more often, I think, if that's... So anyway, that's all I have to say.
Thank you, Commissioner Gaffer.
I make a motion that we...
Hold on. We haven't done public input yet. So if there are other questions for Mr. Subi, you can hang out here if you want, or if you want to sit over there. If there are members of the public that want to speak to this proposal, this is your opportunity to do so. If you do want to speak, I'd ask that you come up here so we're close to making sure we get you recorded. Just give us your name and your address. Anyone from the public who wants to speak to this? Going once, going twice? Okay.
Still want me to...
Well, I guess we just need to vote, so hang out for a moment, Noah.
Okay.
Make it comfortable.
Yeah, these are better seats than ours.
Okay. And actually, Commissioner Gaffer, before Mr. Crow, Commissioner Crow makes his recommendation, I just want to say, from serving on P&Z as well, when we made this original proposal to City Council about infill lots that we've seen all over Old Bisbee, this was very much in our thinking as a group when we approved the proposal we did, understanding that it wouldn't be without controversy, but that we could see that there were many lots in Old Bisbee that continue to remain undeveloped.
Right.
And although not all of them might be primed for development without parking, we thought there may be some, and we wanted to at least to create that mechanism for that to occur and for the appropriate review to occur as well.
Okay.
So this, in my mind, was exactly the kind of proposal we did think about based on our discussions and what we ultimately approved.
Mm-hmm.
So unless there are other questions or comments for Mr. Subi, Commissioner Crow, wanted to make a proposal?
I'm ready to make a motion to pass DRB 18-39 as proposed with the changes and with or without parking.
Is there a second?
I'll certainly second.
Okay, Commissioner Gaffer seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. None opposed? Mr. Sparza?
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Subby. Okay. We're moving on to agenda item number 4. This is DRB application 18-44. This is in the residential historic district. It's a non-contributing property, number 170, at 804A Tombstone Canyon. The applicant is seeking approval to rebuild the garage, add a studio above, pave the driveway, and remove an outbuilding due to a failing foundation. The applicant is Renee Reed. My understanding from Mr. Esparza is that all public notice requirements have been met in a 300-foot radius. And we also received, just prior to the meeting, this update, which I believe, Mr. Esparza, you will need to probably also get sent out to those residents in the 300-foot area, as this was not provided to them prior to this meeting. And although I think we had enough copies to be able to share with some members of the public that are here, for those that couldn't attend, I want to make sure they get the more specific proposal that was fleshed out. I would also just, I guess for the record, Mr. Esparza, share that for future reference, these are the kind of applications we've asked we not receive until we've got complete documentation, both for our purposes to review prior to the meeting, and also for the public's purposes. So they have an opportunity to see what the complete proposal is. So I understand you were trying to accommodate the applicant, but I think it really does make it a little more challenging, both in review process and just in terms of goodwill with the public. So I understand that the applicant cannot be here, but that her son is. So what I would ask is if you could come up here just to join us, just so we can review the proposal with you. And Mr. Esparza indicated that your mother, although not here, is available by phone.
Yes.
So if we have questions about the application, I'm working on the assumption that you're not authorized to say yes or no if we propose changes, but that we can contact your mother by phone so she can at least hear what we're requesting and respond to it.
Yes,
sir. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, great. Do you feel comfortable speaking to the proposal at all?
Sure.
Okay, well, why don't you go ahead and just identify yourself and your address.
My name is Kenneth, and I live at 804A Tombstone Canyon. And basically, this has been a dream of my mother's for quite a while. The garage that we have there is, you know, in shambles, and basically want to change all that and replace it with a nice garage and pave the driveway and possibly have a studio above the garage if the bids are correct.
Okay.
Everything will be in Victorian craft style in line with the rest of the community and to match our house as well.
And we received an updated graphics just before today's, just at today's meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Just so you're aware. So is that the actual final proposed design, or just to give us a general idea of dimensions?
Just to give a general idea of dimensions.
Okay. Anything else you want to share with us before we open up to commissioner questions?
And then we'd like to tear down the old laundry room behind our house because the foundation is going and being ruined by ivy. And so we just want to tear that down so that it's not a hazard.
So and that's an accessory structure. It's not part of the main house.
Correct.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Commission members, I'm hoping you've had a chance to digest both the additional material you got just before the meeting, as well as the original application.
So, I'm not
Commissioner
I'm Crow? Curious to how this new garage sits on the lot.
This would be perpendicular to Tombstone Canyon, if I understand correctly.
So,
yes?
Would you be driving in this way?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
So you basically, the side of the garage is going to be what you would see.
So this is the side we would see from Tombstone Canyon Drive.
Yes.
Does that answer your question?
Yep, yep. I've got some more to say about this too. Nobody else does.
Go to it.
The window on the side is, it would look better to have a double hung window rather than a sliding window like that, or I'm not sure exactly what that is.
Right. So I don't think when my mother had these designs done that she knew exactly that it had to look exactly like what she would want as the finished product. I think her understanding was that you just had to have a basic structure and the dimensions of what it would be.
That's not right, because it's the details that are what we're looking at, what it looks like. This, to me, looks like a garage in Sierra Vista. Not anything that would be necessarily appropriate for Bisbee.
And, right, exactly, and I would agree with that. Like I said, it would be the basic structure, but in a Victorian craft to match our home and the surrounding community. I mean, if you look across the street, there's the famous green house that is, like, collapsing. So I think anything that we can do in the neighborhood to improve what's going on there would be excellent, right?
Okay, but you've understood both from Commissioner Crow and hopefully from myself just when I spoke with Mr. Esparza, as a general rule, what we get in our application packets is what the final product will look like.
Okay.
If the prior applicants you saw brought updated drawings specific to material, scale, windows, and the sort, because our role is as a advisory commission for the city of Bisbee is to be maintaining the historical character of the historic district. So we need to know in specifics what's being proposed. These drawings at least give us an idea somewhat of scale, if not dimensions. And scale and dimensions as well are important to us, but so are the final finished materials, window styles, garage, all of that.
Okay.
Other commission members, I don't know if you have questions for this gentleman, Commissioner Green.
The material list is very kind of vague. It's not specific. It doesn't state what type windows are going to be. We normally get presented with an application, an example of the window that's going to be fitted, the doors, the siding, the trim around the windows, the Victorian aspects that you talked about, an example of that by drawing.
Okay.
So that the photographic illustration we've got here is more of a contemporary garage.
Yes, I would definitely agree with that. I think when she hired the man to do it, she asked him to do it in a Victorian craft style, exactly how she described it to him, and he agreed, and this is what we got, you know, very late to coming here, and so... obviously didn't have time to change it, but you know, we wanted to come anyways.
Okay, thank you. Are there other questions or comments?
Yes, I concur with my colleagues, and it really is woefully inadequate. I'm not trying to be judgmental, but it's unfair to the community and DRB, but we can live with it. But the community, if we haven't got a pretty good presentation of what it's going to look like, because we get this a lot. Oh, I'm going to do this and I'm going to go to that. Once it leaves this room, it never comes back.
Not generally.
Occasionally it does, but it never comes back.
And we have to be accountable both to the community as well as to what we are recommending to the building inspector, so they know precisely what it is they're expected to enforce based on what's been approved.
Okay.
Are there other...
Yeah, I mean, I would make the comment that, that I see no reason why there shouldn't be a garage studio, but we got to know what it's going to look like. I drove past when I sat outside for a few minutes and saw it, but, I mean, the description, I'm still not entirely clear how it's going to nestle in there and fit in.
Okay.
But, I mean, I agree with you. It could be a huge asset to the area, but... let's see what it looks like.
Right.
I know it's a little extra work, but it's in the long term, it'll help your builder, it'll help the bidders, it'll help everybody.
Right. Yeah, no, I completely agree with you.
Okay.
Just based on the comments that you're receiving, I mean, I have a sense of where I think the commission may be going, but before we make a decision, because my sense is a number of the members of the public that are here about this particular application.
Right.
So they, you know, have an opportunity to express their point of view. I think that might be an opportunity for us as commission members, as well as for you and your mother, just to hear what thoughts or ideas or concerns they may have.
Yeah, definitely.
So if what happens is a scenario where we table this application, that's one possibility, table it and ask you to come back with a more specific and finalized set of drawings so we know specifically what it is that's being proposed, whether it's a Victorian or arts and crafts idea or influence. You might also be able to incorporate some feedback from community members that you see you can, that also makes this a stronger proposal.
Okay.
Okay.
Excellent.
So unless there are other comments from commission members or questions, I'd like to give the opportunity for the public to speak to the application. I would just say for you members of the public that are here for this application, based on what's been shared, I would also ask you to keep that in mind as well. That there may be another opportunity, should that be the case, for us to review a more detailed proposal that we won't be voting on tonight, but at a future meeting. So if there are members of the public that want to speak, you're welcome to stay if you want, or if you want to sit back down for a moment. We would just ask that you come up one at a time. We'd have you sit there so you're close to here so we can be recorded. So we're recording this.
Where?
Right there, this chair right here, if you would. Unless you're more comfortable standing, we just need to get you close enough to the recording device to make sure this is on the record. So, any member
somebody
of the public.
I left a camelback, but
oh, that's mine.
Sit on.
You can give that to
I
me?
I know what happens when you sit on.
Okay, nothing breakable there, but thank you.
My name's David Michael Cheesham. I live at 808A Tombstone Canyon Boulevard, or Tombstone Canyon Road. My property is contiguous to the applicant's. We share a WPA bridge going across the ditch. Our property's a butt. Along with you, gentlemen, this is a woefully incomplete application. The drawings I can make neither head nor tails out of. There's no site. There's no assessor's map with a site plan. Can't tell how many how many square feet are on the property, and there's no materials list. I have none whatsoever. I mean, it says a man door. I have no clue what a man door is. The other concern that I have is that this may be a studio apartment rather than a studio, in which case it becomes under Arizona Revised Statute 33.13.10, subsection 15, what's known as a single family residence. That's important because, as I'm sure you know, a second single family residence on a property depends on the square footage of the property, which we have no idea. And I'm sorry, I'm not going to go down and get the documents from the assessor's office on my dime. The other problem is the applicant is saying she wants the building to be either 16 or 20 feet over the existing 8-foot high walls, which would make the building either 24 feet or 28 feet. And as I'm sure you know, under the zoning code, Article 5.3.2a, for a single family residence, a new single family residence, 23 feet. If it is found that this is in fact under the same section A4, that this is a new remodel, or it's so dark I can't read really, a reconstructed accessory building, which it very well could be, the height is to be 19 feet. So this is way high for, you know, the proposal. The proposal is way high for our zoning code. I can't tell because I can't make head or tails of it. That's it. perhaps the issue of whether this will be an apartment could be addressed by the applicant either tonight or at another meeting if this is tabled. Aside from that, that's all I have to say. And those were the things that I saw from what I could glean from the application. Do you have any questions for me, gentlemen? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Oops.
Are there other members of the public that wanted to speak to this application? Barb, come up here and identify yourself and your address.
I didn't see it.
And just before the next member speaks, so I would just share with you the kind of points that this gentleman's bringing up, specific kinds of specific points, are definitely specific points I would encourage you and your mother in any updated application to make sure you've addressed.
Right.
Because certainly we as commission members will need to speak to that. We're not necessarily planning experts, but that is an expertise we do rely on both Mr. Esparza and the city staff to ensure that's been addressed when we receive an application. If we have questions, we'll defer to them and their knowledge of the code and law for any decisions we might make.
Right. Just to, if I can respond to Mr. Chisholm, and I'm sorry you weren't able to understand everything in the packet, but in no way are we building a 28-foot high structure. At the most, the top would be 18 foot.
Okay, I'm sorry. I just read what it said. It said 16 or 20 over the existing wall, which is 8.
We didn't have the amended anything. We just had the...
If you want to identify yourself, just so we know who you are and where you live.
My name is Barbara Jones. I live at 802A Tombstone Canyon. So I live next door to Renee. And adjacent to this proposed structure is a row of garages that is co-owned by four families. And I own the first and second, and Mary Ann, who is also here, owns the third spot, and it backs right up to this proposed structure. So I definitely have some concerns. One is the integrity of the foundation, the integrity of the walls that a two-story building is going to sit on top of. It doesn't really address the flow of water, and if you look at the slant of these walls, they're going right toward our garages. Now, a little bit of history, and this poor old garage has been in a state of disrepair since I bought my house in 1983. I mean, it's really been pretty disheveled. And years back, Renee hired someone to remove the roofing because it was blowing all over the neighborhood with every windstorm. Without really looking at the relationship between our garages and her garage. So she pulled out the roofing, and it turns out we shared roofing between the two structures. So they removed this roofing, it started raining, and all the rainwater went right into the three garages, flooded us out. I lost some things in storage, so I went through considerable expense to raise the roof slightly and I had a custom gutter system put in to carry that water to the ditch. So I have gone through considerable expense kind of making things workable. So my concern is that nothing be done that ruins the integrity of our garages, and that includes tying into, I don't know whether it's a common wall or what. I think it was one of those things where there was a wall, and you know how old Bisbee structures are. Everybody tied into it. So I'm very concerned about the integrity of our structures. So I'm hoping that whatever plans get submitted and get engineered, which I hope they will be engineered, that it doesn't undo all the work that I've done or divert water into our garages.
Are there any
So this
questions?
Is your garages, this is the back of your garages here, is
exactly,
that right?
Exactly, yes.
That's jumped. I see, yeah.
And that roof, that rusted roof line we're seeing, that's the entirety of those four garages from the back, looking from this property.
Yeah, it's actually five garages altogether.
Five garages.
Yeah.
What's is that back wall concrete?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And is there a shared wall from your family's garage on your property, at back of that wall, concrete wall, is that a shared wall with the garages on the property below you? Or are those two?
I believe so.
When I was doing repairs on the back, there were notches, as if it, you know, rafters. I always forget rafters and joists. Rafters
that
are up above.
That went in. Yeah, joist or something.
There wasn't anything tied to it, yeah. But it looked like at one point the roof on Renee's garage was tied into that same wall that mine was tied into.
Mm. Okay. We hear your concern. Other questions or comments? This member of the public?
Hold on
a sec.
I'm sorry.
This is actually just for commission members.
Well, I thought you said members of the public.
Oh, no. If we have questions for this member of the public.
I don't hear very well. I apologize.
Okay. Sure.
I think that's what we're talking about here is more of a legal matter. And I'm not sure when there's new construction if you can legally use that back wall as part of the new construction or not. But that's probably a legal zoning matter.
You may need to follow up with Mr. Esparza, and he can get you to the quick person in the city of Bisbee, because it sounds like if this is a shared wall, the question that's going to come up is who's liable, who's responsible, who's ownership, where is the property line, your property line versus the property line for your neighbors and those garages. And yes, this being Old Bisbee, well, not this being Old Bisbee, but Old Bisbee being Old Bisbee, this would not be the first time we've seen a property line issue come up because of someone wanting to do work on a building they believe to be on their property, but in fact part of their building may be on someone else's property,
right,
as well as theirs. Those are issues well beyond the DRB's purview or authority, but they're issues that obviously just through a zoning process and permit application process, you need to be able to address to demonstrate how you are going to go about either buying that other land or not building on that section,
right,
so that you're not compromising.
Or backing it away, perhaps.
All possible options.
Yeah.
But it's something you'd need to both convey to your mother, but just anticipate in your any revised application.
Right.
Okay.
My mom wanted to speak to you in person, but yeah, she had to go to the emergency room on Sunday. She threw her back out, but she was planning on talking to a person to put all your concerns at ease.
Yeah.
So definitely we've had two different civil engineers out to look at the walls to make sure that it would be able to hold a structure and to make sure that, the water and everything will definitely, not go into either, and it'll continue to go out into the ditch.
Okay.
Of course, we don't want old problems coming back. Of course not.
Of course not. Not when I've spent $1,000 to correct it.
Any other questions or comments for this member of the public, commission members? No. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
And if I could, just before, if there's another member that wants to speak, just again as an example, so when we look at, and I know your and mother are probably a bit frustrated with your civil engineer who's provided this, but when we look at this as commission members, we would look at this literally as how the structure would be built.
Okay.
So the concerns that two members have brought up and that you've spoken to, we would have no clue looking at this that there's a
right.
wall,
okay.
that there's an adjacent structure to it to inform our idea of what was actually going to get built.
Okay. Yeah, definitely.
So again, in terms of any updated proposal, that's you want to make sure that's reflected and accounted for, and that visually we can see what's being proposed. If it's going to tie into an existing wall that's shared, obviously there's the zoning issues of property line that need to be addressed, as well as the engineering issues about it being able to take that weight.
Exactly.
So that we can see what that would look like.
Right.
Are there other members of the public that wanted to speak to the application? You wanted to say something else, sir?
Yes, if you could
come back over here.
This is Mr. Cheesman again. Oh. I would simply request that the City of Bisbee ensures that all affected members, those within the 300-foot radius, by statutory due process in the city code, are supposed to be notified. May we please have copies of the updated application in the event there is one forwarded to us?
Most certainly. We've made sure that what we received just prior to tonight's meeting, that a copy went to Mr. Esparza, so he will get that out to members in the 300-foot radius. Should this be tabled and a revised application be submitted, all of that would then also be provided to the neighbors within the 300-foot radius.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, you're welcome. So no any other members that want to speak to this? Seeing none, the public input period is closed. Commission members, you've heard this gentleman respond to some of the questions or concerns that have come up. But I think in any motion, we need to be as specific as we can as to what needs to be addressed in any updated application. I've made some notes just based on what's come up. Commissioner Gaffer?
Can we make a motion to table this so that they don't have to reapply? Well, if they have to reapply,
we can just for due process.
Yeah.
We can table action on an item and request updated information or specific issues be addressed, so the applicant doesn't have to reapply with a new application fee that goes along with that. We've simply tabled making any decision until the items we've requested are provided. But given the number of issues or items that have been brought up, I want to make sure, in deference to the applicant, that they're clear what they would need to provide so they know that they have provided what they believe is a complete application addressing the issues that we may vote on tonight. Does that make
That's
sense?
Fine. Yep.
Okay. So are there any other comments or questions for the applicant? No? Was there anything else you wanted to share with us before we vote?
No, this has been really informative. I guess we wish we would have known that we needed, more and to be more in detail, so we wouldn't have wasted everyone's time, so to speak. We'll get everything done to a T, so that we can move ahead with beautifying the neighborhood.
And this is a process, so I wouldn't say, as Chair said, it's a waste of time. It's help hopefully informing you and your mother, right, as well as getting feedback from community members, neighbors, about what concerns they may have, as well as leaving here with a specific request of what it is we do need to see. So you'll know specifically, as your mother will, what you need to come back to the DRB for review of this application.
Right.
Okay. So with that said, I've made notes, unless someone else is feeling ambitious and wants to make the proposal.
Why don't you go ahead?
Okay, so I'm going to propose that we table this motion, that in updating the application with us, we get a more complete materials list, that we do have a site plan provided, that we have addressed the square footage of what the final structure will be, and clarification of what studio means.
Okay.
Is it a studio apartment? Is it a artist studio? What is it, and what will that space consist of?
Okay.
That would, just so we've got a sense of the integrity of what that space is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
That the maximum height of the proposed garage and studio space be clarified and confirmed. That the impact on adjacent garages and roofs and possible shared wall be clarified,
okay,
as well as be incorporated into the engineered proposal for this building.
Okay.
And that any property line related issues be worked out and addressed via the normal channels with the city and with anyone else you may need to employ, just to clarify where your property line is.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah, I find that just the material list.
I think I mentioned that at the beginning.
Yes, but go ahead. Because we don't actually have, or asking you for architectural drawings, they would normally specify the windows specifications, door specification, trim, so forth. So in your materials list, you need to give us a little more information than just saying wooden windows.
Okay.
You're going to say what type of window, and give an example if you can, with a particular product that you intend to use. Same goes for the siding, trim, doors, etc.
Roofing, all that.
Yeah, and roofing, yeah.
So yes, I'm agreeable to your amendment.
Yes.
And including that in as well. Anything else I missed, commission members?
I might recommend design guidelines online? I believe that is.
That is?
Yes, it's online.
It's online. However, I always feel a need to give a caveat. It's online, but any approved updates that we've made since this mid-80s are not reflected in that earlier.
Yeah, but those are...
He can take one of those. Those are extras.
Okay, then that's what I was going to ask. Yeah,
it's a good working guide.
That'll give you an idea of details.
But there are some amendments that have gone through City Council to this existing guide that are not reflected in this dated publication. But it's a good general working guide to give an idea of specificity of materials. Okay. But anyway, we've got a motion on the floor. So
I'll second that.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? No. So the motion is tabled until those items are brought to us with an updated application.
Okay.
And if you've got any questions, you're welcome to contact Mr. Esparza, or you're welcome to contact me or Mother Is, if that's of help.
Okay, excellent.
Okay.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
And thank you and your mother for wanting to beautify the neighborhood. Yeah. We all wish the folks that own the building across the street from you felt so inspired in some way, shape, or form.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to move on to DRB application 18-48. This is in the Residential Historic District. It is a contributing property, number 545, with non-contributing garage. This is at 303 O'Hara Avenue, and the applicant is seeking approval to convert an existing garage into a guest bedroom. The applicant is Mary Cavalier. And there's someone here to speak to the application. Sure, if you would just come up here and tell us your name and address. I was like looking at you, going, you're not Mary Cavalier. Unless something else has changed since we last saw each other.
My name's Thomas Enriquez, and I live at 238 Purdy Lane, Bisbee. And I'm just here representing Mary because she couldn't be here.
Thank you. So if you could just give us a brief overview of what the proposal is, along with some specifics around materials, that would be helpful for us.
She has a little garage, approximately 12 by 19 feet, existing there on the property at 303 O'Hare. And she's planning on having when people come over to visit, because she only has a one-bedroom house. And this is existing already. And she just wants to do some very simple changes, like take the garage door out and replace it with a single door, residential door, which there's pictures of it. The proposed new door to put in, right behind the picture of the garage door. And it matches pretty close what we could find at Lowe's. It's a fiberglass door that matches the existing one on her house already. And it will have wood trim, and the wood siding will be T111 that's already existing on the garage. Very simple. And also there will be four windows replaced. They're approximately 2x2 existing. They're aluminum single pane windows. And they're put in crooked and everything, and she wants to replace them with some similar high-quality double-hung fiberglass, preferably with wood trim. Same size, only one of them is going to change to a 2x4 in length. And there's a picture of that one with a description. The very last page, it's a 2x2 window. We want to put it with, apparently these don't come double-hung, so they have to be sliders.
And where would this
This window's going to replace that window.
Okay.
It says current window 2x2, mm-hmm. replaced with 24x48.
Okay, thank you. And anything else we should know for the good of the order for the proposal?
That's it for now.
Okay.
That's what she wants to do.
Okay.
Outside changes, inside, we don't really know exactly yet.
And that really
isn't. That hasn't been designed.
And that's not our purview. Right. Design review board just only deals with the exterior of the structure.
Right. That's what we're proposing.
Mm-hmm. Commission members, have you had a chance to go through the material? Any of you have questions, Commissioner Gaffer?
Sir, is the current roof is asphalt?
It's rolled roofing.
Roofing.
Mm-hmm.
Have you considered upgrading that?
Yeah, she wants to put corrugated metal on it, but not at this time.
Understood.
Right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that would make a great improvement.
Yeah, her house has corrugated on it, and we want to keep it the same.
Mm.
Commissioner Crowe?
It doesn't leak and it's in good condition, she wants to, you know, save some pennies and maybe down the road do that or something.
But it's not part of tonight's proposal?
Nope.
Okay. Commissioner Crowe?
I have a question about the proposed door.
Mm-hmm.
These doors, there's a few of them in town, but they really aren't in keeping with, they're not historical.
She's trying to match what's on the house.
Which is not necessarily.
No.
It's not. I would personally prefer to see something more simple, unless her heart is absolutely set on that.
Well, she wants to make it match her existing uh-huh. house, and front and back door have those.
Uh-huh.
So if you change that, then you're changing the look of the whole thing.
Yeah, okay.
I don't think she wants to change all the doors
I'm not suggesting that, although that would be nice. But
well,
Commissioner Green?
Property is a contributing property.
The home is. The garage is not.
But the garage is going to be part of the home. It's a bedroom. And so it should really conform more than if the whole existing was non-contributing. Do you see my point? If you're going to make what's now a garage that's got a rolled mm-hmm. roof on it into a living room, mm-hmm. a bedroom, it should really have the same features that the home has.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't know where we are design review wise on that, but when you make a living room, it's a lot different than a garage, and the building regulations are quite different that apply mm-hmm. to living rooms from garages. So I guess that'll come out in the planning part of it, the building permit approval.
Yeah, which is, yeah.
But that's something to be aware of.
Mm-hmm.
Normally wouldn't allow sliding windows, and I know there's an existing window that's a sliding mm-hmm. window. So
yeah. No, we're going to get double hung.
You're going to get double
yeah.
hung?
Yeah.
Except okay. for the one.
Except
the one
for the one that they don't make them like
on
that.
One, right. On the one side.
We normally require an awning window if it's a bathroom. Is it going to have a bathroom in this?
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Yeah.
Is that where that slide, proposed new slide,
no,
would be going?
The bathroom one's going to have a double hung that fits in between the studs.
Mm.
Just a small 1x2, basically.
And I'm just following up on Commissioner Green's comment about mm-hmm. the slider window. We've made rare exceptions, but usually the conditions have been that slider is not visible to the public. It's not in any sight or view lines of the building.
Yeah,
and we've done that reluctantly, usually when we have.
Mm-hmm.
I know one of our commission members is quite familiar with material availability. So you indicated that for the size of that window that you're looking for, mm-hmm. there was not a single hung or double hung option. I'd like to suggest, given that you've heard this concern from two different commission members
mm-hmm.
Representing the applicant, that we be able to provide maybe some other possible option for that window, or suggest something that could meet a single hung, double hung standard that you may not have been able to find, but that we may be able to find. That's not a custom Pella window mm-hmm. costing a tremendous amount, but might meet our concerns, as well as address the scale and size concerns for the space you're replacing.
Mm-hmm.
commissioners. Any other questions for the applicant? I see there's a member of the public here and a veteran of the design review board. You'll have your moment. Are there any other questions you have for the applicant or comments for the person representing the applicant? Okay, if you want to, you can hang if you want. Mm-hmm. We're going to open it up to the public. Sure. I believe there is a member of the public here that wants to speak to this. If you would come on up. And for those who don't know you, identify yourself and your address.
Oh, hello.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. How are you?
I'm well. How are you doing?
Good.
Hello, hello. My name's Sam Wolcott. I'm just dropping in because I have nothing better to do on a summer night. Mm-hmm. And happy to see so many people that I know and like very much. One thing that we did in our years, I was on the design review board for probably over 10 years, and in updating our code, and something you spoke to, Stephen, was not necessarily integrating all new builds into what's already there.
Right.
Part of, in the olden days, all of Bisbee was not part of the historic district overlay. And now that it is, for many of our renovations, we were encouraging people to upgrade the look a little bit. So those garage doors that John was speaking to, if you're going to go to the trouble of really, sort of modernizing,
sure,
and upgrading,
mm-hmm,
you want to do it in a more historic way. Even if it's not contiguous with the rest,
right,
of the house, it's an upgrade that we always encouraged homeowners to think about.
So she can change the door then, make it simpler, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I think that's what you...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's what I'm going to tell Mary, too. You know.
Right. And it's kind of more the...
I'd be happier with it. Anything that's visible is...
Personally,
is
I don't like that door either.
And I'll just say, from so many applications,
yeah,
that I saw across the table...
That's right.
The contractors have so much... they're, you know... I want to say influence, but most people don't really have the expertise that you have over so many years. So we encourage contractors and neighbors and anyone else to, you know, help with this, you know,
mm-hmm,
help with the design. And if you don't like it, you could tell her why. And, you know, wow, we've got these great guidelines, and we really want to, preserve the look of the neighborhood, and it's highly visible. And they might go, wow, I didn't think of anything like that. I know we've had dozens of people that they thought, wow, I didn't consider this, but thanks for helping us,
mm-hmm,
out, and the designs have fared better for it. So that's all I wanted to say.
Thank you, Ms. Wolcott. It's good to see
you.
Thank you. What a nice room.
Your diplomacy is missed.
Yes.
Oh, thank you.
And moderation.
And moderation.
Thanks.
Are there any other members of the public? There's only one other member here, so unless you plan to come up, I believe we've given the public the opportunity to speak. So it's back to us. Public input period is closed. Commission members, any other follow-up or questions or comments for the representative?
No, I guess not.
What I'm hearing is, generally, from us and with some diplomatic and apt expertise from one particular member of the public, that beyond the planning code issues that may come up, converting this garage
mm-hmm,
to having a habitable space, which are addressed with the building inspector or zoning code inspector, the two concerns that we have with what we have to see now is the type of the style of front door being
mm-hmm
proposed for the garage and the one slider window being proposed.
Mm-hmm.
So if those two issues can be addressed, I think it's addressed the major concerns that commission members have. I don't want to speak for you all. I'm just trying to synthesize what's come up so far. That those would address the concerns we have. And just to partly echo what was just shared, since the entire Old Bisbee residential district became part of the historic district, there has been a gradualist approach we've tried to take, which is each time someone's working, touching one
mm-hmm
of the structures, that's the opportunity just for that structure. This is just for the garage, not for the house.
Yeah.
That we say, well, then let's at least address this with the garage, just like the owner someday hopes to put a corrugated roof on this at some point. We more than understand the financial limitations that can exist for updating buildings, but we try to achieve, at least with what is being proposed, getting it more in line, especially since the main house is a contributing structure.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't hurt and only helps maintain that property in that kind of state over time. So I don't know if anyone's feeling loquacious enough with the AC now turned off in this room to make a proposal or a motion. I know the AC was turned up, but it's not that bad.
I guess I'll make a proposal for the, this is the DRB 18-48.
Yes. Commissioner Crow?
We pass it with our recommendations of a simpler entry door and double hung windows.
And we'll look a little harder for them. You might have to try to get some pictures in. So
on that one, you might just have to change. Instead of going wider, you might have to go.
We'll just turn it
a little taller. Yeah, which actually might be easier.
It's under a big awning there, and that window faces her right directly in her little patio.
Uh huh.
So, Mr. Commissioner Crow, just because I want to, because we've got a proposal, so I just want to make sure we're being clear what's being proposed. You're proposing the entry door be more in keeping
with the historic
district guidelines.
Yeah.
Okay. And that all the windows be double hung windows.
Preferably, yes.
Is there a second to that motion?
Oh,
or amendment? Is there discussion?
I just thought of what's going to replace the garage door?
T111.
And this is quite visible, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, not really. The garage is like down the driveway.
Okay. But
it faces
the street. And as long as it doesn't look like a garage door's been taken out and a smaller door put in, that would look awful.
Yeah,
so
I agree.
Try and make it look like some of the older properties by putting some maybe vertical battens or something on there, just to make it look more in keeping.
Yeah, I agree. We were talking about that.
Okay, too, that's a
good idea.
So are you agreeable to his amendment?
Yes, that's a good idea.
So an entry door in keeping with historic district guidelines. You've got them here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
In case you want to take a look again, all windows will be double hung windows, and the front of the garage will have a board and batten appearance.
Yeah.
We're just talking the front, which does, in a setback manner, still face the street. Okay.
Fair enough.
Are you agreeable to the amendment?
Yes.
Okay. Do I have a second?
Yes.
I have 2 seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
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 None opposed? Those are your marching orders. You can blame us when you go talk with the owner.
She'll agree with
them. Okay, good.
Yeah,
Thank you.
She's easy to work with.
Excellent.
Yeah. It'll look real nice.
Yeah, it will.
Yeah.
Nice little project.
Okay, we have one more application, and that is DRB application 18-49. This is in the Bisbee Residential Historic District. It's undetermined property status. This is 513F Bailey Hill. This applicant is seeking approval to remove and replace a failing retaining wall with gabions too high that are 6 feet high and 100 feet long using existing material. The applicants are Bob and Cindy Bojuro. And there's someone here to represent the applicants. Come on up, identify yourself an address, and give us a brief overview if you would.
My name is Brett Weller, Hodges Glass Company, 82 Maricopa Drive.
If you could just give us a brief overview of what's being proposed, with a particular attention made to materials and what's existing.
There's some restrictions. I believe it's an easement across their property. It's kind of named as Dragon View. I guess it goes to Bonnie's house down there, and there's another Bonnie next door. It's a difficult spot. It's narrow. There's a bridge that limits. It's a 10-ton limit on Moon Canyon. We've talked to the neighbors. They're willing to, some restricted travel on the roads that we're doing it. It's going to be a remove and replace. I've had engineer Mr. Karchner look at it and look at the material that's existing and the concrete's existing. It's a little unknown what's behind it. We're going to try and move the wall back about a foot for fire trucks, emergency vehicles. Right now the wall is leaning maybe 6 inches at the top into the road.
Oh yeah, I can see.
There's a lot of rock that Mr. Gilderoy had placed on the property over years from his, he cleaned out a parking lot in the back of the house, and you can see the rock is there. So we're not real sure what the face of the gabion will be. The concrete's a good material, if it's mixed, if it's done, visually nice, with the regular rock, I think we can not make it look, junky. It's all going to be hand placed, so as we start, we'll be demolishing a section, putting in a basket, taking out another section, because there's just no way we can, knock it all down, and we may have more rock behind it that goes in the baskets. We're trying not to move any material. The road coming down off of Bailey to Moon is just really steep, and loaded trucks would be dangerous. There's really no dump site. It's just a real difficult spot, and they've tried to sell the house several times, and that's been the main issue for selling the house, insurance, and also mortgage. They won't deal with it. He's physically not able to do it. He's done a lot of work on the house. It has concrete walls, and it's just we're kind of limited with options. Hand mixing, or we'd have to have a larger footer for a panel every wall. And at least the gabions, we can form the bottoms to some of the rock. We'll try to get a flat base and make them all straight where it runs down the wall, consistently. But there will be the face of the material will be probably concrete and rock. I can't say exactly how the mix will look, but we'll try to make it as pleasing as possible.
Bisbee-esque.
I've done several others, and when you're done, it all kind of blends in. The baskets are going to be galvanized, which kind of grays out pretty quick. It's not real shiny after a period of time. They do make uncoated, but longevity, I would.
That's right.
Hot galvanized.
Doesn't last very long.
Well, they surface rust, and they, they're a 50-year, 75-year wall, and it's only 6 feet high. We're going to taper the wall from the top of the baskets. It does go a little higher, but we're going to rip wrap the wall to the house to stabilize anything behind it. It's kind of an exploratory project. It's nothing I'm really excited to do.
I think we hear that.
And trucking and moving and concrete, and it's just anything on site we can. We're not going to throw dirt back in the baskets. They're going to be, substantial rock, 6 inch and larger. We'll probably put like a back fabric behind the baskets to keep sifting and longevity of the wall from clogging up. And what's nice is that the wall will settle and move with the time. It'll lock itself in better. We're striving to do the foot setback to get the road to be passable, because right now it's just too narrow for an emergency vehicle, I think. Mm-hmm. We might get a foot in there, and I think I didn't measure it, but and the neighbors are all, they've been anxious to see this happen, so I don't see a problem with them, except for me. Working on it.
Commissioner Gaffer?
I was just going to say, deal with a utility pole as well.
That's been relocated up higher. That's already been in there.
Oh, this is already gone?
There's one on the property. I'm sorry, I didn't make a note of it. They've dug the hole, and it's done or it has been done.
Good.
There'll be the phone company. The owners are taking care of that, so I didn't have any concerns about that. But the last I heard it was dug out, and they've been on board for, you know, moving that pole up higher.
Just be aware, I mean, this is not DRB specific because I've had a pole replaced on my street. The existing pole might take some time to be removed, depending upon whatever the last line is that's there. My understanding from APS and Cable One that had the last line is that it was a tag, you're it dynamic, and Cable One was left with the responsibility to remove the pole. And because so many have been removed, or so many new poles have been put in all around Old Bisbee, they've had to contract out or subcontract to someone else to remove the old poles, even well after the new poles have gone up. So 2 years plus now that I have a new pole that was relocated, the old pole below is still there. Cut down partially, but still there, because apparently the amount of work that Cable One has had to take on is far greater than they expected. Okay. So just to the extent, seeing how close it is to the wall, and if you're looking at going back...
If the power's off, we could secure it with just a phone line. You know, we could triangulate the back of it or something just till they get done. But it's not a real problem I can see right now.
Okay.
But it should set back right behind the wall that we're building if it's not moved. So.
Okay.
But it's a good point. I'll make sure that they're, you know, they're aware of that. I think it's just cable and phone.
Okay. Other questions of Commissioner Crow? No?
Sorry, I got that light right there.
Yeah, you can move over here if you want.
We do that deliberately.
Yeah.
It's a third degree.
No, it's psychological pressure.
So,
fact is, I don't know why that is even on.
It's our background visual, I guess. So are there other questions or comments for the representative?
Can I ask a question? It's somewhat visible, but would this be an item that might come up on a upcoming? You had something where you could get rid of some of the, you know, things that were standard. You know, with it, like a work session on some items. You know, like the gabions, the poured walls, or. Are they always going to be for review, or could they be done, you know, something that might be, is it?
There's been a proposal, I think I know where you're going with your question, there's been a proposal from the city manager, Robert Smith, to try to streamline part of the DRB application process and reduce the number of applications that actually would come to the DRB as a commission, but that would require the DRB, as it's currently constituted, to update this, the mid-80s design review guidelines, which, although good in their day, are now dated and not comprehensive. So we had agreed at a previous meeting to start a process of updating this to address City Manager Smith's request, which is tied into also changes with the county over oversight with inspection, both building and zoning. Enforcement, which in part may transfer over to the county. But before that can happen, they have to have a complete, exhaustive set of guidelines, which this unfortunately does not now fully do.
Manpower is the problem.
So assuming that we go forward with this review and update, get that approved, you know, to go through the processes that City of Bisbee requires, would have to go ultimately to the City Council, be adopted, then that might change what comes before that DRB commission and what is reviewed and determined by a building inspector or code inspector that may be a county employee versus a city employee. So that's the framework of that proposal.
Yeah, that's quite an ordeal.
Exactly. Commissioner Green?
Yeah, I was actually going to propose we approve the application. The discussion went on a little bit.
Sorry, just trying to respond to his.
Your application in particular is one where you've got an accessibility issue. You've got width of the road adjacent to it issue. I noticed the utility poles, which we talked about. So on that basis, I can't see you can do this any other way than what you're proposing.
Narrow it down.
And therefore, I think that's something that we're going to come up against on a case-by-case basis, even if we don't like something. it's probably the only feasible way of achieving the result you need, which is to stop the house moving. That's why I'm proposing we accept this application.
You're making a motion?
A motion, yes. 18-49.
As submitted?
As submitted, yeah.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Commissioner Gaffer seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. None opposed? You've got the green light as far as we're concerned.
Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate
now you just have to do the work.
Good luck.
Yeah.
I was hoping you'd shoot me down.
Sorry. No such luck.
Yeah, it'll probably be the next couple months. The big thing is also we're worried about is, you know, say there was a fire and we're in the progress, you know what I mean?
Well,
we have to clear the road instantly or
you know,
have equipment there to make it where the fire trucks can get through.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more complicated than I prefer. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
You'll be the better man for it afterwards. If you're still alive.
Now, I was just going to mention, in discussing this with Mr. Ward and even with the building official, I guess you're probably aware that some sort of engineering just to determine that those gabions are going to be stable. And I mean, I don't know what you were...
No, it's already been done.
Okay, it's been done. I just want to make sure we understood that yeah. Because they said, yeah, structurally, you just have to make sure that the integrity is there. And
yeah, it's... I have drawings, and we're all good. Thank you.
Thank you, Bruce.
Thank you.
Okay, believe it or not, as we've worn people down bit by bit, we're to agenda item 7, staff comments and administrative approval report. Paul, if you would, and thank you for providing applications as backup so we've got the actual applications and visuals.
You're welcome on that. Yeah, I wanted to mention, so VRE application 1845, so that was administrative approval by the building inspector. Again, replacing and repairing the existing board and batten siding, repairing and replacing bathroom siding and framing, and then replacing existing double hung windows on the home. So older windows with newer double hung windows. Mm-hmm. So that was something that Joe said that was within his purview to be able to approve, and he did so. The second DRB application was 1846. That was for a sign on Subway Street, and there is an illustration of that sign, rather small. It's like 11x17, but again, it looks like that certainly would fall within the guidelines for a commercial sign within the district. So again, those were the two administrative approvals that occurred. I would also like to call your attention to, there's an email that was provided. Joe had just sent that today. Apparently there's an ongoing sign issue with, and I call them banner signs. I guess you call them a flutter sign, but if you look at this, apparently you'll have to forgive me for not knowing what business that's in front of, but again, I didn't have an address, but...
The old High Desert Inn on Naco Street.
Okay.
Which was just sold a few months ago, I believe.
And apparently the property owner, business owner, has been contacted about this being non-compliant, but again, it sounds like it's going to require a little more work on the part of the city to get them to be in compliance, but they've been told that this sign is not appropriate for the historic district, and again, there's been no, I guess as of this email, again, they have not taken it down, so apparently there's going to have to, and I don't know if this is something that the city encounters all the time, but apparently there's a little bit of a resistance to taking the sign down, and it's not compliant.
So if I understand correctly, but it's not on the agenda, we would need to, I think, put this on next month's agenda.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like there's no urgency in that. This has been ongoing for several months. If I understand, Mr. Ward is asking that we address this per existing code and authority to strengthen his hand in following up with this owner who's not so far complied or responded in any meaningful way to the issues he's raised.
Right.
Yes.
And he's highlighted the section of the code that clearly you guys have the authority to administer, additional regulations in the historic district. So apparently, want to make sure you're aware of this and to see if there's any sort of comments from the DRB as far as how they can go to resolve this.
Are they refusing to apply for a sign permit?
Yeah, they've applied for nothing, man. I think it's mentioned
doing
there
nothing,
is
basically.
No sign permit. I mean,
except putting the sign up.
They've basically erected the sign and have gotten
right.
No approvals whatsoever.
Okay.
And have now been told that...
But have been formed by the city building inspector at that time, county building inspector, that it's not in compliance, they need to apply, and they've not.
They've not. They've done nothing.
So they've been informed of what they need to do.
Yeah.
They haven't. So he's asking us to take action at a future meeting.
So let's do it.
We have to get it on the agenda, which takes us to, if there's nothing more from Mr. Esparza.
Yep. Well, let me just, a little bit about tonight. You know, again, obviously this is a learning experience for me, but I think one thing I'm really going to strive for, when these applications, and, you know, I had a phone call with Renee Reed. I'm talking about the one that was obviously inadequate, but I think it's going to be important for me to, and I know, John, when you came in, I was at the counter with you. I actually saw the application. I even when Noah came in, I think it's important that as staff, that I'm there at the counter when it comes in so we can review the application. Clearly, the one came in and I realized that, you know, I called her about a week ago and said, you know, this is not going to fly. I mean, I know it was probably too late when I talked to her, but yeah. The fact is, if I would have been able to meet her at the counter when she came in and review it at the time, I think that's going to go a long way. And I appreciate, John, when you came in, I know when Noah came in, it's an opportunity to look at it right there. Again, this thing showed up. I don't know when it was received, but these things end up in my inbox and they get no opportunity. Yeah. So I did phone the applicant and I realized that it was probably too late saying, look, there needs to be, again, what they brought in was still not adequate, but I feel like it would be helpful if I could say, look, here's a copy of the design guidelines.
I had to laugh at her original drawing. It's like the little flowers.
And that's when I said, that's why I figured I had to call her and say, look, I knew that it's not acceptable. I said, can you work toward, I know she heard her back and I didn't get anything until the last day or so, but the fact is it still wasn't good enough. But again, if I could meet at the counter when they submit and then say, look, here's a copy of the design guidelines and please,
you're not there,
I think,
and they
Joe
do drop it off, you need to get back to them as soon as possible. So they're not, so they,
I think Joe Ward has a checklist that he gave out.
Well, there is on the back of the application,
says you need this, yeah. This. Now people don't understand what a material list is. I mean,
or a site plan.
Screws, what we're asking for is a clear description of the materials that are going to be used to produce the end product. And they don't get that. But if you didn't explain that to them, like you haven't got any architectural drawings. No. Okay, you just got sketches. All right, these windows. Find an example of the windows. Provide a copy of the manufacturer's data sheet on that window. Put that in with your application. Because we can go, oh yeah, we like those windows. Right. Or no, that's not going to work. We know exactly what they're saying. Whereas a sketch explains zip.
Right.
The other thing, on
the garage remodel, there was a couple of pages there of interior layout, which we have no interest in it.
But that's fine. We don't.
I figured it was part of the submittal. I didn't want to exclude it necessarily, but I know it's not your purview. Yeah, but I just wanted to. But no, it's clear to me. I understand. I mean, your job is you need the correct information, and again. The applicant, I hope she understood, and again, talking to her, but I just said, this is not going to suffice because there's not enough detail there, and it's certainly, but again, that's really on me to make sure to say, look, sorry, we have to get the, and I know you'd rather not, even if I had a call, the problem is I sent those letters, I'm like, dang it, those things have gone out, the neighbors are notified now. I know you don't want to necessarily get something after the packet goes out, right? If she had submitted something that was adequate, and would you have still been okay with that, or you really don't want to see anything coming out after that packet goes out?
What are you asking exactly? I just want to be sure you're clear what you're asking.
Yeah, say what I would have phoned her, and she said, oh, my bad, I meant to do this. If she would have been able to give me let's just say adequate drawings and things that would have satisfied the requirements after the packet would have gone out, or is that something you don't want to
look at what Noah Subi presented?
Well, yeah, he made an amendment.
How perfect
to answer your question, that would satisfy us.
Absolutely.
But it may not satisfy the people that are...
And that's my concern. How do I... It'll satisfy you, but then the fact is neighbors didn't get it.
You're wearing multiple hats. I mean, there's what we want, just as one commission.
Yeah.
But it touches on many other responsibilities of the city of Bisbee, including proper disclosure to the public when a notice to the public is required. So I, as a member and as chair, I would rather you table the item before it comes to us, even if you send out, even worst case scenario, because we're in a transition period where certain responsibilities that a city employee has are now shifting somewhat clearly and somewhat not to county employees, right? This is already happening. So there's going to continue to be gaps where you may not get something, even though it's understood by this person or that person, you should be notified. And the timing may not always be good. Someone may bring something just down to the wire. You thought you accounted once you do get it because you didn't get them and meet with them in person that it met our minimum requirements and then determine upon further review it doesn't. I would rather you notify us you were tabling an item because it didn't meet the minimum requirements. And we can certainly disclose that to the public at the meeting, even after an agenda has gone out, so it's clear to the public what's happened. Even though an initial agenda went out, this was included on the packet, the odds are you're erring on the side of caution. Sure. Because just as an example, what we had tonight was a number of members of the public come for one item, which had to do with an application that was not complete. So understandably, those members of the public, some who are quite informed in terms of law, public disclosure, right? All did not know what was going to go up there. So we alarm members of the public unnecessarily. You know, otherwise, it looks like we might actually let it go through. Right? That might be the converse concern is, maybe this is acceptable, and they're making decisions based on this, don't know how they could, and that just subjects us to further challenge and lack of credibility. Yeah. So I think it's better to err on the side of caution to indicate the item's been tabled. The chair can certainly speak to that when that agenda item comes up. We're just informing the public this item has been tabled because of an incomplete packet. We apologize for the inconvenience.
Everybody understands.
Everyone's going to go fine because probably that's why most of those folks showed up. And then we're also, you know, letting clearly the applicant know this ain't going anywhere till you meet the minimum requirements for submission of an application.
Would it be helpful if possible? I know my colleague has kept every application he's ever received. To pull out good examples so that Paul can sort of say, you know what, is that not a good idea?
They've got privacy issues there.
Possibly.
Because we can only show an example, but we can't show an actual one.
No.
Because that's...
Tonight, I know Noah's construction, that's a great one. For example, if it's an addition, if it's a remodel, again, they may not be at that caliber, but no, believe me, I absolutely agree with that. Noah's, that was outstanding. But again, depending on what they're doing, right, it may not. But we still want to make sure we've got elevations from all sides, we've got the site plan, we've got the materials list with examples. Much like, well, tonight, even with the garage conversion, right? Windows may not have been all right, but at least it showed you that window's not going to initially work because it's a slider and not a double hung. Right?
At least we had a specific proposal respond to.
Yeah.
And that's why I wanted you to hear, not just him, but for your benefit, to know historically, we on a very limited basis have approved sliders. It's not something we're enthusiastic about, and as the composition of the DRB changes, maybe that will change, but the basis that's been used previously, and I'm talking up through the last 6 months, the factors we've looked at is it in any sight lines, is it in public view? Typically, these approvals have been on windows facing a back wall. They're not visible to anyone in any reasonable stretch of the imagination.
Yeah.
That's where we have justified approving a slider, and there are usually other factors related to why they're putting that in that particular location. So we've been flexible enough.
And usually it's replacing a sliding window type of thing.
In those kind of conditions. Right. But it's in that context that we've done that. So you may not, you might say, I don't know if this is in that context or not. And then I'd say, then let it be for us to make the decision, and then you'll know. Yeah, this was outside of that context. I should have provided clearer guidance that it's likely this will simply be denied. So you may want to reconsider. I mean, you may have an adamant applicant, which has happened before, right? And they may say, no, I want this to go forward. Fine. You've given them the opportunity to understand they may have wasted their time, and this is going to get denied. Or the application will get approved with amendments to address that. But you've done your job as a public servant notifying them in context, and then we get to make our decision once we have the specifics.
Yeah.
Right.
Is that helpful as well?
Yeah, it does. And I remember, I know Mary wasn't here, but I remember mentioning to Mary when I looked, I said, Mary, I'm pretty sure the slider's not going to go. But she said, well, that's just a light for light. But I still, and after looking at the design guidelines, it clearly showed that sliders were not.
Yeah.
But there could be unique situations that might.
With multiple variables that we would then consider, and if those are not present, the fact that, as we've had happen before, someone put sliders in and then tried to do the, it's better to ask for forgiveness than approval,
yeah.
A dynamic, and we still came back and said, no, these need to go. Okay. These are visible, clearly visible from the street. They are meeting all the criteria for why we would not make an exception in this case.
Especially as, in this case, we had a non-contributing garage. Well, either the property's contributing or not. The garage really is not separate property.
I would agree. We might want to actually get a legal counsel or SHPO interpretation.
But making it a bedroom is making it part of the property. It's a detached bedroom, a guest room, whatever you want to call it. It's a living room. And then just to slap partition walls inside and block up where the garage door goes and put a fiberglass door there is not what we're looking for, as far as design review is concerned.
I agree in general idea, but from a legal or regulatory perspective, an inventory was done of buildings that qualified them for historic contributing status. So that garage is never going to be contributing, no. Because it was not an original structure remodeled or remodeled. It will never be contributing. The house, as long as it continues to meet those contributing criteria, would continue to be contributing, I understand, regardless of what was done to the garage. We, based on our local guidelines, may say, well, we still want to see this complementary, sympathetic look with a new structure, but I don't think it would impact the contributing status of the primary structure of the residence.
So if it was a lean-to garage and it was adjoining the contributing structure, wouldn't it become part of that structure?
We would probably want to contact SHPO and look at what
exactly.
The inventory indicated, but probably they would have included that as part of the complete structure. Then we'd have a basis to be able to say, no, this has to be within these historic guidelines as well. But as a freestanding structure and new, not an old garage remodeled, I think it's apples and oranges. It will never be contributing. It could look like, if we allowed it to be some grotesque proposal that went through, that would happen, but the contributing structure would remain contributing because that has not been modified. I think the larger issue for us that's going to continue to come up is something we may want to put on a future agenda, because we're going a little off topic now. So on those lines, is there any other feedback, Paul, that you needed for us or clarification?
I'm pretty clear now. Okay.
So we can move on to future agenda item suggestions. So future agenda item suggestions, I am proposing that we have a next month's agenda, the signage issue with the High Desert Inn that Mr. Ward has asked for our assistance and for us to weigh in on. That be on the agenda to review.
And the chair, which you've already...
That's already been, we'll roll over. We already agreed that we will table it to the September meeting. Any other agenda items?
Nay.
Okay. Thank you. I'd entertain a motion for our meeting to adjourn. Someone willing to
make a motion to adjourn?
Second?
I'll second that.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
We are adjourned by the water bottle.
Thank you.
Hopefully the tape is still going, Mike. I don't know if you can still see. I want to grab that and turn that off.
Let's hope we got a good recording 1 hour. Yep, so I'll stop that.